Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us today. This is Lisa Zimmer, and you are listening to Unlimited Realities with Lisa Zimmer and my guest today, Linda Starr Wolf, who wrote such an amazing book, Visionary Shamanism. And we're going to talk about shamanism, holotropic breath work. We're going to talk about moving through some blocks and issues. This is such a powerful guest that I am presenting to you guys today. So sit back, listen, be informed, and be inspired. Welcome, Linda Starr Wolf. Thank you so much for joining us today on Unlimited Realities.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a real pleasure to be with you today.
Well, it has been such a joy looking forward to this show. I absolutely loved your book, Visionary Shamanism, and you take a subject that may be a little bit over the majority of the populace's head, and you simplify it, and for me, that's genius, and I just appreciate that gift so much when you can take something that may be a little bit difficult for the average person to comprehend and make it such an acceptable, practical guide and tool for all of us to use and to tap into in moving through our blocks. And let's talk, I want to start first about introducing you, because you have such a variety of talents, skills, gifts, insights, wisdom. You started off as an addictions counselor, is that right?
Yes. Actually, I started in the field of mental health when I was just 20, and then around 30, I went into the field of addiction. So I've had a long history in working with both of those arenas, if you will, of healing and transformation.
And you've also, you've studied philosophy, you've studied the religious studies. I mean, you have the lineage of expertise that you have covers my arm. So, I mean, I was so impressed by every little venue you went through to gather the insight, information, and wisdom that you contain. Let's go into what is shamanic breath work?
You know, whenever somebody asks me that, a million thoughts run through my head. Like, what can I say that will capture this? And each time it's something different, I think, that I say, because there's so many aspects to it. But I'll do my best to give the best, most concise explanation. Shamanic breathwork is a process and a journey that developed really out of my own experience, just like many of my teachings, many of the things that I do and bring to people really is my own personal journey. And what really happened is in my mid-30s, after many years of studying many different kinds of philosophies and healing techniques and alternative healing and studies, I really immersed myself in working with the breath. And it became a very sacred tool for me in my own transformation. At that time, I studied holotropic breathwork and integrative breathwork. I was doing yoga and meditation. So I was doing a lot of things with the breath and finding that the breath was so key in opening up my psyche to the multidimensional realms of myself. The other thing that I discovered during that time, or I should say discovered me, is that I came into contact with a woman who became a mentor and a grandmother to me, and that's Grandmother Twyla Nitch. She passed to the other side in 2007 at 94. She was the Wolf Clan grandmother, the Seneca. And I became an adopted granddaughter of hers, and her teachings were very profound and really shape-shifted my entire psyche at the time, that along with the breath work. So over a period of time, over those years, between what Grandmother Twyla taught me and her love and support for me personally, the breath work that I was doing, especially with Jacqueline Small in the Psyche Institute, and became a lead trainer for that institute, that journey itself and a deep immersion into Jungian studies really began to turn my world around. But how it turned it, quite frankly, is really back to what I actually knew, and I think this is so true for so many of us, what I really knew as a child,
right?
That everything was deeply connected that the, that God, if you will, you know, the universe loves us deeply and has our highest and best interest always in, at its forefront, I think, of energy that's moving through the planet and through the universe, and that we are all related. You know, the native, some native people say Omotakweyase or Omotakweyasin, which means we are all family, we are all one, we are all related. And so between the breath work and the studies that I was receiving from Grandma Twyla, I really came back to what I had learned as a child with my own grandmother in Western Kentucky in the rural area there, who taught me these very same things, and she passed when I was 12. But I had that, and then it was like there was a journey that I took that where I didn't remember. I had lost it somehow, and it all came back to me at that time. So when that all came back, to answer your question, shamanic breathwork was an outgrowth from my own journey. And so I took the breathwork and all that I had learned through all of my other studies, and especially through the shamanic world, and I brought those two together 15 years ago, it's going on 16 years now, and created an organization called Venus Rising Association for Transformation, and brought in the shamanic aspect of what happens during breathwork. And so that, so I call that shamanic breathwork. The breathwork itself, in fact, you know, here at Isis Cove, our retreat center in Western North Carolina, we have workshops and trainings going on all the time. And today, in fact, there's 20-something people as we speak right now who are down doing breathwork in the Isis Cove retreat center today. And there are trainers all over the United States and other countries who are doing breathwork today. So that work is growing and spreading around the country and to other parts of the world.
That's incredible. Your work that you've created, your husband, Brad Collins, and yourself have also, you have the Isis Cove and you have the Venus Rising. And let's talk a little bit about, and this is in western North Carolina in the Blue Mountains.
Yes, we're about an hour from west of Asheville, which everybody knows just about these days because it's such a wonderful place.
Oh, yes, I lived there
place.
For, it is a beautiful place. I love Asheville. I lived there for a short period of time. Now, let's talk about the Venus Rising because it does deal with a tremendous amount of healing issues, psychological issues,
yes.
And you deal with a lot of post-traumatic stress disorder, addiction, depression. How do you integrate the work that you do with people who may, you know, be suffering from these aspects
mm-hmm.
within themselves?
Well, you know, the breathwork is really suited for almost anyone, to be honest with you. It's a universal, you know, we all breathe. We
right.
all have the power within us to open up our higher chakras, if you will, our intuition, to open up our deep cosmic connection to the universe, to open up to these powerful imaginal cells of who it is we're really truly destined to be. And the breathwork has this wonderful ability to open people up to whatever it is they need to do. So if a person needs to work on their stress, for instance, we have someone here who has been on tour a couple of times in Afghanistan. So there's a lot there. There's a lot of stress and post-traumatic stress. We
wow.
have someone here right now who has cancer. And she told me that today that for the first time in a long time, she was able to eat without her throat giving her great pain. And she was crying as she said this. She feels healing happening for her.
Wow.
We have people who are here who love to do transformational work. They're looking for their next right step in the world, and that's mainly why they're here, because they need that vision. We have people
mm-hmm.
here who are already shamanic teachers and healers in the world, and what they feel is they want to add something else to their toolbox, and they've heard about shamanic breath work, and they feel like this may be the next thing that they really want to add in to what they're doing. So we have all these people together. The youngest person we have here is probably early 20s. The oldest person just retired from being a business administrator in a college in Portland the day before, 2 days before he came here and drove across country to be here. So, and he's in his late 60s. So this is a process that can work for anyone who's ready for a change. That's the bottom line. if they want to heal, if they want to transform, if they want to add this to a process they can do for themselves, you know, like a recharge for their battery. We have two or three therapists here who just kind of, quite frankly, needing a recharge, a little crispy critters around the edges, you know. Having been a therapist, I understand. You know,
oh,
they're
yeah,
just like, I just need some time for myself, you know. We have a wonderful woman who came here from Sedona, who's a life spiritual life coach, and her client from England who came over, and they've only been together one time, I think, in person before, so they came together. And
nice.
So it's just a wonderful mixture of people from all walks of life. You know, Lisa, when I started out doing this work over 30 years ago, nobody knew what shamanism was, very few people.
Right.
And very few people had ever heard of breath work. And
right.
like you said, it wasn't for the everyday person. It was definitely the people that were already awake, people that were really, you know, going through shamanic experiences who found their way to us. And it just wasn't mainstream. And I remember a few years ago when somebody interviewed me and they said, what is your deepest desire? And I said, from this interview today, and I said, I really would like to help breath work and shamanism to go mainstream.
Right.
And I am so excited now with the books that I've written and all the books that everybody's writing right now and these programs like yours that are on, that seems that many people are now on board with this, and we get some of the most interesting, what I would have thought in the past were extremely conservative people who are showing up for these events, and I am so thrilled about that.
And, you know, I'm thrilled about it, too, because this is something that we all have the tools and capacity. We don't have to go invest in buying something to get there. We just have our breath. And
and
there's such that, you know, I had worked, I guess it was over probably almost 30 years ago with Jacqueline Small in breath work. And it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing. And you don't realize how shallow the typical person breathes. And until you recognize proper breathing and how to go deep and really to trigger that, it's an incredible experience. And you talk a lot about some of the experiences you've gone through in your travels and in your workshops and things throughout Visionary Shamanism, your book.
Yeah,
you talk also about the activating the imaginary cells of the human energy field, and I would like to get into that as well.
Sure.
But let's talk something about in regard to the breath itself. What do you recognize with people when they first start out with holotropic breath work?
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with people who are like in stress or going through the motions of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, Lisa, I just want to say that shamanic breathwork is an outgrowth of holotropic breathwork, and I really admire, respect Stan Grof and his work, and also Jacqueline, who's still a very dear friend and mentor and teacher for me with integrative breathwork. And shamanic breathwork is a little bit different than holotropic breathwork in that we're really actively calling on the shaman within. We're also calling to activate the self. We're also really calling on, if you will, what I believe are people's natural guides. You know, in the shamanic world itself, when I've dealt with, you know, when I've worked with Peruvian shamans, worked with Mayan shamans, worked with the Native Americans, there is this belief that we come in with a lot of help. We don't just come in as little creatures that don't have any help, that we come in with spirit allies, you know, medicine helpers from all kinds of realms, that the angels come in with us, that we really do have, whatever your, you know, your religious background is around those kind of things, that we really do come in with a lot of help. And I believe that. I know that there's so many times in my life when I've had to face things and I thought I was alone. At that darkest moment and that darkest hour of my life, something has come through. And sometimes I've been able to put a face on it or an energy around it, and sometimes I've just known it was the Creator's love for me. But we all come in with these guides and these helpers, and so that's very much a part of shamanic breathwork, is calling in and knowing that. And also, not only healing our past, which much breath work is focused on. And to be honest with you, in my earlier work with breath work, and probably because I needed to do a lot of healing still, in my earlier work with breath work, back in my mid-30s and early 40s, most of my work in breathing was about healing my own family of origin issues, addictions I didn't even know I had, shadow issues, all kinds of things just from being human that so many of us are just kind of in denial about and going around knowing that things aren't quite right, but, you know, we can kind of make do or whatever and just or settle for less. Or, but yet there's this hunger and this longing. And
right.
Shamanic breath work is designed to do both. It's designed to deal with exactly those things that are in the shadows that we can't see, much like a lot of the breath work out there is focused on. But it's also really geared towards just what you spoke about, and that is activating what I call the imaginal cells. And just so people understand what that is, that's C-E-L-L-S, the imaginal cells that exist in the human energy field. That's not just in our body. It's not just in our DNA, but in our field, our auric field. And I really came to understand that, especially in the last, I would say especially 5 to 7 years, and even more so in the last 3 to 5 years, because I didn't have a name for what they were until I came into contact with some more of Barbara Marks Hubbard's work, which I've been aware of for a very long time, but about her film, Sending Humanity, talking about these imaginal cells, and Deepak Chopra referring to the imaginal cells. And so I actually went on everybody's favorite, Wikipedia, and found out that imaginal cells was actually a scientific term that scientists came up with to describe what happens to the caterpillar and how it's even possible for a caterpillar to become a butterfly.
Wow.
And we all know that the caterpillar becomes a butterfly. We've known that as a child, you know. We know
that. We take it for granted.
We take it for granted. Like, oh, yeah, a caterpillar becomes a butterfly.
Right.
But when I stopped and started delving into this and doing a study about this and what they go through and how the caterpillar actually cracks itself open and brings out of its own being, it's already inside of it, this chrysalis, this, if you will, it's like a little sarcophagus, it's like a little tomb or womb, so that it can become what I call caterpillar mush, that it can dissolve itself in order to go through, if you will, a shamanic death and rebirth. And in that mush, something begins to percolate. I kind of imagine it like lava percolating. And what that is that the imaginal cells are born when the caterpillar is dying. They do not exist prior to that. They are born out of the mush, and they percolate, if you will, and I'm saying this in very layman's terms, much easier to understand that way. And out of that, this new creature emerges and is formed within this chrysalis, within this safe container that this little being created out of its own body. And as it forms, of course, it becomes what is going to become the butterfly. But even then, the journey's not finished, because at some point it has to break out of its old way of being, its old habits, addictions, you know, of just kind of walking around on leaves and eating leaves all day. It has to break out of the shell of what it used to be and undergo a rebirth process. As it emerges, its wings are strengthened from the struggle. And if we accidentally walk by and we don't know any better and we open up the chrysalis with a knife or break it open so the butterfly can get out more easily, the butterfly will never fly. It's through its own journey that it pumps the fluids from its body that's been formed into its wings. And in that struggle, the wings are strengthened. And as it emerges and sits on the old shell of what it used to be, and dries its wings, that very struggle created the strong wings that when they dry can now fly. And then somewhere in this little creature's being's psyche, there's this incredible, irresistible urge to take the leap into space and to fly. Mm-hmm. And from there, that now new, brand new being that has downloaded all these new imaginal cells and become a new creature, a new being, will begin to do this amazing process of fertilizing and pollinating and spreading beauty wherever it goes. And as we know, these butterflies can fly thousands of miles, whereas if it had stayed a caterpillar, it would have lived all its life on one bush. So its story has become epic. Its life has become mythological.
Right.
And it has the ability to create beauty and to create inspiration for all of us, as well as the plants and all creatures on the planet. So what an incredible story of downloading these imaginal cells. And let me say one more thing. Sometimes people say to me, well, that's the caterpillar. How do you know human beings have that? And I said, well, let's look at it this way. A lump of coal becomes a diamond. Do you think it undergoes the same process? Much longer time, of course. But they were the first beings on the planet, the minerals and the earth. Then the plants, the trees, the acorn that becomes the oak tree. Much longer process than the caterpillar, right?
Right.
But it, that little acorn looks at the oak tree standing beside it and said, I think sometimes it might do what we do and go, you've got to be kidding me. You know, but yet it does it, doesn't it? It does it. And then the caterpillar takes less time. Some only take 28 days. I firmly believe that this is where all addiction treatment programs came from, is the caterpillar consciousness 28-day program.
Wow, that's incredible.
Okay. Now, what about human beings? Do we... can we be an outgrowth of the plant, the mineral kingdom, the plant kingdom, and the animal kingdom? You know, the snake that sheds its skin. Can we also do this? And I know that the answer is yes, we are. And I knew that even before, quite frankly, through working in the field on addictions of recovery and seeing people die to their old self and be born to the new, or people going through mental health issues and healing and recovering. But I know it now more than ever because with the shamanic breath work and other processes that we're doing and that other people are doing out there, it's happening very quickly now, not 10 years of therapy. This is happening very quickly with people. They are downloading who they are now and becoming it.
Wow, that's a powerful, powerful insight there. I love... the fact that you're using the butterfly and coming out of the cocoon as the analogy in regard to the addictions therapy, because we talk about so many times that if you change a habit in 21 days or 28 days, you know, that it can break that habit. And here this is so congruent to where we're at in regards to our own evolution and growth. And here it comes
from
nature.
Well, it's so inspirational, isn't it? I mean, to imagine that, I mean, I know a caterpillar is not a worm, but it looks worm-like, that this little worm-like creature in just 88 days teaches itself to dissolve, become a new being, and fly.
I mean, how incredible of a metaphor is this? I mean, it's because that's how we evolve. I mean, if we're leaving a closed state of consciousness and we're opening our mind up and we're expanding and we have this new awareness, here's the butterfly. So we come out of our cocoon and we emerge as this lighter soul, and this, there's a freedom with that, and there, the freedom for the butterfly is soaring in flight. I mean, it's what an incredible metaphor. I love that. That I'm taking that with me.
Please do. It's because, you know, so many people are so pessimistic right now about things on the planet. And I'm not in what's called, there's a term we have sometimes called spiritual bypass, where people are only focusing on the light and they're not paying attention to the real things going on in their everyday, ordinary life. And we are not spiritual bypassers. I'm here to say that. We can get on the nitty-gritty and work with people about real-life issues that are going on. But, you know, there's two ways to keep something negative going on in your life. One is just to focus on it all the time. Talk about it, process it, and just stay stuck in it. The other is to ignore it completely and pretend it's not going on, and denial. That's the way,
right.
And not talk about it at all. So we're finding a balance about how to bring forth what is truly going on in your everyday life that is keeping you stuck, and how can we move the energy around that and begin to work with it and teach you to work with it, and at the same time help you to remember that just like the caterpillar, you already have within you these imaginal cells that knows exactly who it is you are here to become. And that's
right.
Not something that any teacher can give you. That's within you. And that's something you don't have to learn or read a book about, but you do need a process to teach you how to open up so that you can move the ego to the side and let your soul purpose emerge. And that's the gift of this work. And then you don't have to focus on all that other stuff. You can focus on what's coming in. You still have to do your own maintenance, like we still have to brush our teeth every day. You know,
sure.
We want to keep our teeth, but we don't have to brush our teeth all day long.
Right.
You know, five minutes we can brush our teeth, you know, twice
right.
a day. You know, so if we have something that we need to care for, we can care for that. And the rest of the day we can go about being who it is we're here to be. We don't have time to focus on and stay focused on the negative, because we are in a very, very big tipping point and turning point evolutionarily. And on the planet right now, there's so much that needs to change. And who do we think is going to change it? It's not going to
right.
be the authority figures in the world that we're looking to change it. That's not going to happen. That age is over. This
right.
is the Aquarian age. And in the Aquarian age, this is God within. And it's time for each one of us to grow up in a very good way into who it is we are and to step in and do our part. This is what we were born for. This is our destiny. This is our time.
That's right. That's right. This is, I have goosebumps as you talk, because I just am so resonated to your work and your center, and I'm going to have to come visit you. So
please, Lisa.
I'd love to have you.
I
know that this is powerful stuff here. You are an incredible teacher, just in the wisdom that you're expressing here for our listeners today. You've already provided such insight and growth for me, and I know for them as well. So thank you. Let's move on in our questions here, because I have a load of questions for you.
I'll try to answer them. Okay.
They're fun. In you're dealing with as we were talking about the activating of the cells within our human energy. When you are watching somebody going through a transformation from maybe that crystallized closed state of fear, like the caterpillar, and then
mm-hmm.
emerging into that, you know, soulful being that they truly are, but needing to remember, like the butterfly, do you see a physical transformation as well within their essence, like the energy shifts, of course. So it goes from, you know, that closed state of stress into that trust and that faith. And, you know, do you witness any physical changes that the person may go under?
The shift is incredible. Oftentimes, right in the midst of a breath workshop, and working with people, and you know, I've worked with one person. We've had 500 people in the room. Typically, it's, you know, between 20, 30, 40, 50 people in the room. The shift is amazing. People can actually look across the room, and people have said, "There is." It brought it to my attention. Maybe I'm working with someone else. Look over there. There's a golden light, the lights will be turned down very low. There's a light around that person. And that frequently happens when someone has just come through a major shift in their process or journey. Sometimes mm-hmm. people actually go through something that looks like a physical rebirth, and we set it up for them where they can actually push against someone and move through an energy that feels like they rebirth. Sometimes it's through shedding a lot of tears and getting grief out that's been there for years and years and years and years about something they didn't, you know, they thought, well, that's in the past. Sometimes it's from letting anger out and even, you know, beating on some pillows and crying and maybe screaming and letting out some, you know, rage in that way. And other times, simply a person is lying there and just in this blissful state of breathing and opening and breathing and opening, and they're teleported someplace else, and you can sit, we walk by them, and we know they're not even there. They're in some other dimension or realm, and they're, you know, with the angels or in the heart of God or, you know, flying like an eagle, or they become an eagle. We don't know until afterwards. Afterwards, when we hear from people, as we're in our community groups and we allow the sharing and bringing back, you know, I dealt with my rage for the first time, or I dealt with my PTSD, or, you know, today I really realized, you know, that I need to quit smoking pot, that I'm a daily pot smoker, and it's standing in my way. I'm not getting done what I want to do in my life. And there's never any judgment, whatever anybody is experiencing. We're all human beings. You know,
right.
Yes, we're spiritual beings having a human experience, but make no doubt about it. We're definitely
right.
human beings, too. You know, and
exactly.
the world is showing that right now. You know, it says you're human beings, you know, you're spirits, but you're here being human. So let's get with the program.
Right.
So this is happening, and people physically change. Like I told you, we have a group that's here for 2 weeks right now, and they're going through intensive healing and training. And one woman, you know, has this severe illness, and she did breath work 2 days ago, and she's doing breathing today, and she came in today, and she said, "Starwolf, look at my throat. This, the, you know, the side that's been swelled with cancer, it's going down."
Wow.
And then she said to me, "I'm able to swallow without feeling like I'm choking, you know." And she said, "I was afraid to even come here to try and breathe." And just amazing, you know, what's happening. So, you know, who knows where that will go. But for today, physically,
right,
you
right.
could just look at this person and you can see something's happening in her energy field. The person that's, you know, been in trauma from the war and other things in his life that's here, you know, today was smiling and he looked younger and, you know,
right.
Was able to hug people and not jump when you touched him.
Aww.
You know, so these are physical shifts. They're psychic shifts, you know, because that's where it really has to happen is in the psyche. But these
right.
psychic, psyche, soulful shifts happen, and then people's bodies begin to shift. I've had many people who got sober and stayed sober from shamanic breathwork and doing what happened to them in their breathwork journeys, and they could just see that was an old self they just needed to let go of.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Then now they had a journey afterwards or a process they went through that, you know, to accomplish that. But the shift happened in the breath work.
Right.
And in that loving, safe container of having a vision of who it was they really were beyond their addiction.
And I really love how you address everything that you are today was somehow touched upon when you were a child, because I truly believe that. I really believe that spirit speaks to us so clearly when we're children, and we're so tapped in at that essence that we re-remember as we get older and we go through the blocks and we've gone through the garbage of life and trials and tribulations
yes.
and addictions and all of that. We come out the other side and then we re-remember what our passions and our loves and our igniters were as children. And if we're blessed and lucky enough, we can integrate that into our soul purpose and our life path as you have done. And it is just truly remarkable how many thousands and thousands of people that you have touched. And the types of, you know, emotional, you know, feedback that you must get. And also the work that once these people have gone through this transformation and how their lives are, you know, paying it forward to the lives that they touch outside of, you know, your facility, like in their everyday life, and they're integrating in their work and their children and their families, because it's that lightning bolt of touch. It's that light of love, and that it feeds off of that. You talk a lot about not only just learning from our past, because and I believe this too, history repeats itself, whether it's individual or whether it's global, it repeats itself. But you also talk a lot about downloading information from the future. Can we talk a little bit about how that can be possible? Because I understand it, but I would like you to talk to our guests about that.
Right. First of all, Lisa, I want to say what you just said is absolutely stunningly beautiful. And I thought, okay, I want that on my brochure.
Oh, thank you. Beautiful.
And I must say something before I answer your question, and that is, you know, the only thing that's more rewarding than actually facilitating the process myself is seeing and hearing other people writing me and telling me about the processes they're facilitating out there in the world, and knowing that this is not just my work, this is so many people's work. And even people who aren't training to do breath work, we have a lot of people who come through the training, even though they aren't going to do the breath work, they do it to really bring forth their leadership skills and to bring through the depths of themselves. One woman just wrote me not too long ago. She said, "You won't remember me," but of course I remembered her. It was 15 years ago that she went through a huge process, and that she changed her whole life, and that she went out and she became this amazing tango dance teacher that's phenomenal and is like nationally famous. And
wow.
She said it was from doing breath work and shadow work. And so hearing things like that and knowing that there's a group of people in Bermuda, I went there for years, and now there's monthly breath works happening in Bermuda. Bermuda's kind of like a small town, you know. And hearing what's going on with people, you know, I met a man at a book signing the other night at Malaprops in Asheville, and he was from Bermuda, and I was signing a book. He said, "Sign it for my wife," and I signed it. And then I said, "You're from Bermuda," and he said, "Yes." And I said, "Do you know about breathwork?" And he said, "No." And I said, do you know about a place called Spirit House?" And he said, "Yes, my wife teaches yoga there." And I said, "Well, the people that started that do breathwork there, and they learned breathwork here with me at Isis Cove many years ago, and they went on to create another center in Bermuda like Isis Cove, and they called it Spirit House." And he said, "Well, my wife works here."
Oh, my.
So,
he
just wandered into the Malaprops bookstore by accident. So, you know, it's just that kind of thing. And so, yes. You know, it was awfully hard for me because I, years ago, I had a lot of wounds. I had my own addictions and issues. And it was difficult at that time for me to imagine myself much more than beyond a caterpillar.
Right.
At some point, you know. I mean, I was typically the typical therapist, and I love therapists. In fact, you know, I love to work with therapists, and a lot of them come through our program. But I became a therapist primarily, I didn't know this, but through my own need to heal myself. And working with other people, I could kind of vicariously get some of the healing. And I didn't know that, quite frankly, until I was in my mid to late 20s that I really needed to do work on myself. I thought just being a good person and helping other people and meditating was enough.
Right.
And, you know, so when I really realized I needed to do the healing, and I kept doing the work, I kept working with other people, but I really dove into my healing. You know, I really did breath work intensively for a number of years. And I still do breathing when I, you know, it's kind of like taking your car in to get an oil change. I take myself in to breathe, you know, and use this tool. But at that time, I was mainly focused on healing the past. But as more and more the past really became the past, because you see, our past is not the past if we're still living in it in the present.
Mm-hmm.
If what happened to us in past lives or in the womb or as a baby or a child or even last week is still eating our lunch today and still controlling our decisions and how we're being in the world today and the stance we're holding, you know, even a victim stance we may not know we have, or low self-esteem or codependency or addiction, if it's still in our present, it's not the past. So to really firmly get the past in the past and to do the work that takes is important. And although I was a therapist for a number of years, and I know I did good work as a therapist, and there's a lot of wonderful therapists out there, too often today I see that people get caught up in therapy and talking about the same things for 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Amen.
And you know. And sometimes I go to a therapist, you know, and I'll say to them, I know you really love your work and you really want to assist people, but are you aware that you're allowing this person to stay stuck by just being empathetic and loving and supportive, but not really getting them, you know, into the shamanic groove of death and rebirth here? And every time they start to feel a feeling, you suppress it. You know, you're helping them suppress it. And
God bless you for saying this.
You know, and I love the therapist, but I just can't stand it. I have to say to them, you've been working with this person for 10 years, and, you know, I just have to tell you, I think that you're their biggest problem.
Right.
I've said that.
Exactly.
And I've upset a couple of therapists, and they've been mad at me, and then some of them have actually had a breakdown and started to do the work and see that they were being codependent, you know, and keeping someone stuck.
Yes,
you know?
God bless you. I mean, I've been, that's one of my thoughts for so many years, and I'm so glad to hear this coming out of your mouth. Thank you.
Well, I hope the therapists will know out there that I honor them, love them, and I hope they're doing their inner work and not being codependent, and that they can, and that they know that people can change. Because I've had therapists actually say, well, you know, she can't change. She's just got this diagnosis, and she's not going to change. And my God, you know, if therapists are holding that as their belief system, you know, and unfortunately the person's holding that as their belief system, then guess what?
Right.
You know?
Well,
so anyway.
It's that they're held in the cerebral part of therapy, not the heart-centered soul aspect of what therapy can evolve into.
That's
limiting.
Right.
You know,
it's
you know, you can only analyze so much. You have to actually integrate and feel. And until you integrate and feel, you're really not moving through your stuff. You're just analyzing.
That's right. You're just analyzing it from your head. You know, and you can know your story backwards, forwards, frontwards, down. And that's a great first step, to talk about your story and to know what your story is. But unless you're, you know, we have a saying, if you can't feel it, you can't heal it. And when we feel it, it brings it all the way through to the surface. And then as Jackie Small, my beloved Jackie Small teacher, said many, many years ago, if it's on its way up, it's on its way out. And when we bring it out, then we can see it in a different perspective, and then that's where the butterfly comes in, because we don't see it through the eyes of caterpillar. We see it through the eyes of butterfly. And then when you can see your bigger story, you see the bigger picture, and Jackie and I talked about this for years and years. What is the bigger picture? In one of her books she even wrote where we were talking about it, she mentions it where she was talking to me, and I said, Jackie, we just have to see the bigger picture. If we can see the bigger picture, that's where the visionary comes in, then we, you know, we become our own Albert Einstein. You know, we become our own Martin Luther King, our own Mahatma Gandhi. We become our own Buddha, our own Mother Teresa. We understand that those figures that have risen up in history, or her story, you know, her story too, that have risen up, that they have been kind of unique in the past.
Right.
But we are in a different place, and Barbara Marx Hubbard says this, I believe this totally. We are in a place where all of us can awaken to this energy. And there's a future self in every one of us. Every one of us, not just some of us. Every person on this planet, just like we have a past, we have a future. You know, unless we're dying right now, you know, and that is our future. But, you know, we have a future. And we are creating that future by every step we take, every choice we make, every dollar we spend, wherever we spend it, you know, every attitude we hold on to. By every choice we make, we are affecting our future self and moving towards it or away from it. But there is, and Carl Jung talked about the archetype, there is this archetype or prototype, if you will, or this spiritual blueprint of who it is we were meant to be. You can think about this even logically for just a moment. If you plant a tomato seed in the ground, it becomes a tomato bush. If you put an acorn in the ground, it becomes an oak tree. If you squish coal hard enough, it will become a diamond. You know, the caterpillar, if it doesn't get eaten by a bird and it does what it needs to do and breaks out of its shell, will become a butterfly. There's nothing in nature that doesn't have this. Why would human beings be the only ones that the Creator created and said, sorry, you don't get to have imaginal cells? you don't get to transform. You're just going to, you know,
right,
slide around and just be, you know, one thing. We are completely here, I believe, with my whole being, and I've experienced it many, many times, to not only envision this future self, but I believe that it's our truest destiny and our holy longing of why we take on addictions and depression and despair when we don't move through these portals of transformation. We are meant to embrace our divinity while we're human beings.
Yeah.
That, I believe, is our biggest destiny, and to remember who it is that we are. And that future self holds our divinity. It holds who it is we are. If the past can be in the present, which we all know many people live in the past,
sure,
then why not the future?
Yes.
But it's not a linear thing. It's
That's
not
right.
a linear thing. If the past can be in the present, then why not our future self that holds our truest destiny of who we are?
That is a beautiful segue to my next question, because I sometimes annoy people because I embrace change so much.
That can aggravate some people around you, you know, who don't want to change.
Exactly, and I understand that, and I have compassion for that, but I have
yes.
also learned that through life, change can be sticky, it can be uncomfortable, but it always morphs into a better quality of being for myself, of who I am.
Mm.
And how can we, in talking about this shift of emerging from a cocoon and becoming the butterfly, how can we encourage and support those who are resistant to change, fearful of change,
mm-hmm.
don't understand that, you know, the light is at the end of the tunnel?
Yes.
How can we, you know, change that perception?
Well, first of all, by living it ourselves, by doing
yes.
it, and also not being ashamed to talk about our past, not being ashamed to share where we've come from and what we've gone through and what we needed to go through in order to change. And then the amazing tools that we find in our life, sharing those, you know, it's kind of, here's where I was, here's what I did, and here's where I am now. And to be a living example and to keep changing ourselves, not to get complacent and to say, well, ta-da, I've arrived. To remember, even after the butterfly arrived, it still flew 1,000 miles to South America, you know, and pollinated plants. It still had work to do, you know. Beautiful work to do, but it still had a lot to do before it completed its journey. So, you know, those of us who are making this shift and who aren't as afraid of change as a lot of people and who are shamanic spirits just by nature, we need to, I believe, continue to live in our sacred purpose and really let our light shine and say, you know, I've had a lot of darkness and here's what I've done to transform that. And the darkness has fed my soul and taught me compassion, and I have compassion for where you are, but you too can change if you want to. I never see anyone that I think has gone too far down that can't change. And I tell them that, and I share that with them, because that wasn't so working in some of the systems I've worked in. They've actually said, you know, this person can't change. They're too wounded. They're too damaged. They're too whatever. They're too sick. And that's just not the case. I'm not saying everyone changes at works with us. I'm not saying that everybody will. But I can tell you the systems that don't believe people can change actually add more to the problem sometimes than help. So the other piece that I believe we can do, I know we can do, is and we do this all the time, like the people that are here for this couple of weeks. This morning, some of the people are all happy. They're excited. Their last breath work was very enlightening and uplifting. And some people, they went kind of down in the pits because they saw some stuff about themselves or their past, or they, you know, realized what their true feelings were. And this morning they were like, oh, I'm a little nervous because, you know, I just saw all this stuff and blah, 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 you know. And I said to them, yay for you, you know, good for you, you're a caterpillar mush. You know, one guy, I said to him, you know, and he's a wonderful young man, he's so brilliant, and he's never dealt with this stuff, and I sat down with him, and I give him a big hug, and I said, you look like caterpillar mush. And he said, thanks, I feel like caterpillar mush. And then he smiled, And I said, you know what's on the other side of that, don't you? And he said, I hear that there's a butterfly on the other side. You know, and I said, yes, and look around at some of these other people. You know, they heard it too, and they stayed with it. And just encouraging people and telling them, mush is part of the alchemical stage, you know. Going down into that place is sacred, and you don't have to be ashamed or feel badly about it. You just need to find a safe chrysalis or a safe place, and that's what we really pride ourselves with is here, is really creating a chrysalis for people so that they can come in and that they can go through that process. We're not going to be codependent and break open the shell and pull them out prematurely, but we're going to root them on. We're going to be their shamanic cheerleaders and encourage them and remind them that that mush part or that darkness part is a part of their journey and help them and be with them all the way through the journey.
Yeah.
So, you know, I encourage people, find people who are safe containers, who've done their inner work, who are doing their inner work still, who are happy in their lives, and who are open and authentic and who believe in you and who will encourage you to go through whatever you need to and know that you don't have to suffer needlessly for many, many years. This can be a much quicker process than what some people might think it would be.
And how freeing it's going to be for them to come out the other side and to feel that release, because it's an emotional, physical, spiritual, mental, I mean, it's every aspect of who you are that's your creation of essence that shifts and changes. And, you know, you may find you have a calling to make great changes and strides in your life or change careers or, you know, improve upon relationships. There may be other things that come out of this that you didn't even recognize
completely
you were going into to shift.
Well, you know how it is. If you move one little piece of the mobile, the whole mobile moves in the wind. And this is so true. You know, somebody heals addiction, and the next thing you know, they're an addiction specialist, or they're helping other people in some way. You know, you bring healing to someone's grief about the loss of their child, and they start an organization, and we know people who've done this, for healing for people who are in grief and who've been stuck in grief and have never moved through it and who are, you know, make a deeper connection with the one they love from the other side even and see that there's a story around that. You know, we had a woman who's had two sons who were killed in gang fights, you know, and she just came and she was so, a few years ago, so full of grief, she just couldn't see any reason for it. And it's so hard because it's hard to see that even as a teacher sometimes.
Yeah.
15-year-old and 17-year-old shot, you know. And, you know, she released them up on Blue Star Point and took their photos up there and put them up on our this area that we have that looks out on the mountains and took it up there to Blue Star Point and released them their energies up there. And somebody took pictures of her doing that. And don't you know, two orbs showed up in that photograph. And you know, and today she's talking to people and working with other people who've had that happen, children who've been killed in gangs, and she's been on TV, and she's done all kind of things. So, you know, people, when they move through their own healing and suffering, they can't help it. They're just plain old good people. They're just good people, and they cannot not let other people know about the change. So that means that anybody who's doing this kind of work, this deeper soul work, and finding a way to do it, shamanic breath work and other things, they are naturally going to step into their sacred purpose. And they're going to see the reason for whatever they've come through in their lives and see the bigger story of their journey as a human. And then they're going to step into their divinity, and that's going to make them a divine human, someone who understands the bigger picture, is embracing their divinity daily. They have a soulful path, and they're reaching back to others with their humanity and their divinity.
Yes. Amen. That's beautifully said. And you know, this has been just so chock full of goosebumps and insight and wisdom, and I have absolutely loved having you on today, Star. We have about 5 minutes. So let's talk about, first of all, I want to make sure that I provide your website, which is www.shamanicbreathing.org, and also you have Venus Rising, which, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, go ahead, what you say.
Venus Rising, and it's a you have a beautiful website. I love your website, and I want to encourage everybody to really, you know, check this out. Look into the work, because as we evolve, and everything is evolving so quickly, you know, we're all growing in leaps and bounds, whether we recognize it or not. We truly, truly are. And to have such incredible teachers like Star in our world to really help us move through blocks or fears. Please seek this out. This is an incredible foundation. I thoroughly support it. And I want to give you the floor here, Star, in regard to the last 5 minutes. If there was one message that you could impart, what would that be for our listeners?
Mm-hmm. Well, two things. I want to, if I could, just a minute, say something else about shamanic breathwork, and then I'll go right into that. The website is actually shamanicbreathwork.org. And we, Venus Rising Association for Transformation, is our 501c3 nonprofit spiritual organization. And we have a whole list of events and programs. If you go to our website, you can find out about our trip to Peru this year. We're going to be opening the 12-12-12 portal at Machu Picchu with Breathing Up the Sun for people who want to join us. So we have a limited amount of people that can go with that, but please contact us if you want to go to Peru with us during that time for the 12-12-12 portal at Machu Picchu. We have many trainings and things across the country. We're doing the Soul Care Conference with Lee McCormick and Joe Borsinkio out in Joshua Tree in June. We're in Fort Walton Beach. We're in Springfield, Illinois. We're in Alberta, Canada. You can go to our, we're all over LA, New York City. You can look at our events page and see where we are. I'm doing a lot of book tours and talks and public talks. We have the Wise Wolf Councils here over Memorial Weekend, which is a free event for 4 days at Isis Cove, but there's a limit of about 150 people. So go to the events. You can see on shamanicbreathwork.org all the things we're doing. But one of the most important things we're doing is we have a new university called Venus Rising University. We're awarding PhDs, master's, and bachelor's degrees through a non-accredited religious college studies program in shamanic psycho-spiritual studies. If you're interested and you've been wanting to get a degree in shamanic work and psycho-spiritual work, please contact us through our website. Now,
very cool.
The last thing is, some people have said to me, Starwolf, do you think that we're all going to make it through this portal, or is it too late on the planet? And, you know, will you tune into your visionary self and see? And every time I tune into the visionary self, I think about my Wolf Clan grandmother and my maternal grandmother. And I hear Grandmother Twyla actually saying to me, it's not too late. As long as we open our hearts and remember our deep connection to both the stars, that we are star stuff, we are absolutely, the atoms and the stars are what made us, that we are star stuff, and we have the ability to transform our lives. And we can do that in the blink of an eye with just breathing and opening our hearts. We can remember who we are. And we are also connected to the Mother Earth. And her wisdom of several billion years is within us. We have the plants and the minerals and the animals all within us. Their atoms, we're breathing their breath. We're breathing dinosaur breath. That's all within us. We have so much wisdom from the past and the future. It's all within. We are the universe. And this is our time to awaken. And people can use the music on that CD by Matt Venuti in the back of the book.
Wonderful, wonderful CD. I was standing and breathing through it before.
Yes.
Oh, beautiful.
They can open to their visionary self with that music, and we'd love to hear from them. And Lisa, thank you for having such a an amazing program and gift and offering to the world and doing your being in the planet.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you so much, Star. This has truly been a gift for me to have you on today, and I thank you so much for gifting our listeners with all the incredible wisdom and offering your facility. I encourage everybody to check you out. God bless you. Thank you so much, Star, and have a blessed new year. I will be in touch.
I'm planning on seeing you here with Breathwork soon. Call me.
I am there. I am there. Thank you. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful, blessed week. We'll see you again next week. Thank you again, Star. Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank
Many
you,
blessings.
Lisa.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.